I'll begin to teach what I've called the gospel according to Ruth. It's going to be interesting, the text of scriptures I will take, because you will think a man who's going to talk about Ruth should read first from the book of Ruth, right? Yes, but I'm going to start first of all from the book of Daniel chapter 6. I'm not doing a step-by-step analysis of the book of Ruth. There are just things that I have noticed from there, which I want us to understand as Christians, that is from the life of Ruth, not just from that book. And I'm taking my text of scriptures. Of course, we'll get back to the book of, down to the book of Ruth, but let's start from the book of Daniel chapter 6. Something you've heard me say again and again. There are 3 points I want to bring up from the life of Ruth. The first one is the matter of faith that works by love. The number 2 is a matter of trust, total trust in God. And the number 3 is the way God arranges the life of those who trust him. Those are the 3 points I want to bring out from that life of Ruth as we study it over the next few meetings. All right, talking about the gospel of Ruth, or the gospel according to Ruth. Now, so remember I said how many things? Three things that I said we are going to study. Number 1 is a matter of faith that works by love. Number 2, faith as a matter of trusting totally in God. And then 3, how God arranges the lives of those who trust him. Because what you will see in the life of Ruth was that she let herself go and God took up and arranged her life. You will see as we continue to read, all of us know the story of Boaz, right? How Boaz married Ruth. There was not an arrangement from the beginning that she should meet Boaz. She stumbled onto the plot, onto the field of Boaz. You know, because you know the story, you unconsciously think Naomi told her, go there. No, she went to look for food and she stumbled into the field that belongs to Boaz. And I don't think she knew who Boaz was. It was when she got back home and told the story to her mother-in-law that the mother-in-law said, oh, that's Boaz. Actually, she's a close relative. I think we should pursue that which God has started. Are you getting my point? So you see, it was God that began that arrangement. It was not Naomi that thought it up. Ruth did not count on it. She counted on something else. Actually, the Bible says that when you're talking about resisting sin, it talked about loving your life, all right? Not loving your life unto death. That's what happened to Ruth. She let her life go off totally. Did not think of anything as to hold on to. And then God ensured that she was settled. Are you getting my point? That's what we're talking about, the gospel according to Ruth. All right, first of all, let's read from the book of Daniel chapter 6. That's where I'm going to begin from. Then we'll tell the story of Ruth again. I'm going to verse 3, but let me just read in context from verse 1. The book of Daniel chapter 6. The Bible says that it seems good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, and that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps should be accountable to them, and that the king might suffer no loss. Verse 3 is where I really want. Said, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And as a consequence, the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Please notice, I think we discussed here a few weeks ago, what made Daniel, all right, distinguished? Let me quickly say something to us again, which is why I read this, and that's why we're talking about Ruth. Now, Daniel was not distinguished primarily because of the skill that he had. That was a secondary matter. He had skill. Daniel was not distinguished just because he was honest. That was a secondary matter, all right? Though he was honest. Daniel was not distinguished just because he knew he had the wisdom and he knew how to interpret dreams and solve problems. That was true. That is, he had those things. But that was not the primary thing. That was a secondary thing. Are you getting my point? What distinguished Daniel was basically the fact that he had an extraordinary spirit. That extraordinary spirit now manifested outwardly. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, when we use the word spirit, you've heard me describe this thing again and again in this place, if you have been listening to me for some time. The word spirit talks about the central point. No, not point now. The central force of your life. That's what the word spirit talks about. Now, please, before I go on, you know, so many things are jamming in my head. I want to try and put order to it, you know. Has it ever happened to you before? Many things are jamming in your head. That's what's happening to me right now. Let me try and quickly put order to it, all right? Press pause where I am right now. What's the last thing I said, in case I forget? Extraordinary spirit. That was what distinguished Daniel. It was a primary thing. And most of the things we know that we talk about concerning him are the secondary matters. That the spirit is that central force that's putting, that's influencing every other thing that you're doing. Put a pause on that. Is that okay? I want to go somewhere else. Quickly open to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. This one, we all know very well. We could as well have just quoted it off head. Now, let's read from verse 24. He said, "No one can serve two masters," the Lord Jesus was saying, "for either he will hate the one and love the other, or will hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For this reason I say, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" Then continue speaking about this, and you know the rest of the story. Why do you worry about clothing? He said in verse 28, that Solomon in all of his glory was not as well arrayed as the lilies of the field, all right, and the grass of the field that God takes care of. He now said then in verse 30, "But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, I read these two portions, all right, because that's exactly what Ruth's life, all right, was based upon. And we'll see the principles that was guiding the life of that young woman, all right. Actually, I read the scriptures. I found out that she was very young. One of the translations I used, when Boaz saw her, he said, "Whose girl is this?" That was the word he used. So as it was a very young woman. Alright? And used the word girl to describe her. Alright? But you will see, what her whole life was based upon was what he found in that Daniel chapter chapter 6 that we read now. And then these words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Now, before I go on to that, you know, I said many thoughts are jamming in my head. Let me quickly dissolve one of them. They will not go and sit down properly on the matter of Ruth. Yesterday in the morning, some thoughts came to my head, and I said I was going to write an article, and I'll still write it, all right? Some of you will get it to read. And at the same time, I'll post a message, if I circulate that article, I'll post a message, a link to a particular message with it. And that message is the one I preached in a seminar we held here a few years ago, talking about the real faith, all right? And when I was talking about the real faith, one of the things I said was how to assess your life correctly. That is, you want to check whether I have prospered or I have not prospered. You want to check whether I have made progress or I haven't made progress. That's about your life. I said there are principles, all right, to use, and I discussed that then. Now, yesterday, I woke up in the morning, thoughts were coming through my head about it. So I said, okay, let me write this thing because it's very, very interesting. And then later on, in that same morning, somebody called me, listen to this, and he began to talk about some things that happened to him. And we now began to share. And I said, look, this thing you are saying was exactly what I was thinking about this morning. He said he wanted to, you know, he was thinking about it in the morning, and then he tried to call me. If I sent me a message, I read his message shortly after I had those thoughts. And just to help you, what I told him, I said, listen, I may have thought that I was just thinking those thoughts, but actually, it's because you were about to write me a message, all right? And you wanted to talk to me. And I began to have things to say in response to what you were going to say. I began to answer things that you were thinking about and you were going to call me about. Are you getting my point? And that's what I thought were ideas. I said, actually, in the realm of the spirit, there is no distance. Though the young man is quite a long distance away from here, all right? I said, but in the realm of the spirit, if you are connected with somebody, the person may be in Australia. You've had these experiences before. You just say, now, wow, I don't think when I see this guy, you know, that kind of thing. 2 minutes later, your phone rings and he's the one. Why you thought about him was because he wanted to call you. And in the realm of the spirit, he began to call you before his fingers pressed the button on his phone. Do you follow my point? And that's why you began to think about him. It's happened to you before. Somebody's at your door. You hear footsteps and your mind just goes somewhere. All right? Then you say, who is that? And it's the same person you were just thinking about. It's not because of the way his feet sounded. It's because in the realm of the spirit, you knew he was there. You know, there are people who they spend their whole life developing those perceptions. It's not necessary, amen? It's not necessary, amen? It's not necessary, amen?
Amen?
You live your life normally. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I'm just trying to explain something, a principle to you. That so those thoughts came to my mind, I believe very strongly, in response to what he was thinking and what he was going to discuss with me. And these are the thoughts I just want to share with you briefly. Now listen to this. If you read the book of Hebrews, he explained a principle in chapter 11. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see did not come out of the things that are visible. Now, the point there is this. A man of faith, when he's counting, listen to what I want to say. A man of faith, when he's counting, he counts both the visible and the invisible. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Let me explain it. Practical matter. Once, I bought something. Now, you know what I mean by something? What young boys buy, you know, young men, when they have money. Those days, young men didn't buy cars when they had money. What I'm talking about. Because they couldn't afford to, you know, dream such dreams. You buy a TV, yes, it's a sign of prosperity. You buy a music set, it's a sign of prosperity. You get my point? I don't mean one small shortwave radio. I mean a real bedouz. You know what they call bedouz? You don't know what they call bedouz? You get some terminology. So no, no, no. Let me teach you small slang. Bedouz is, you know, bedouz. Amen. I don't know how else to say it. When you have a music set and they tell you it's 4,000 watts, that's bedouz. When they tell you the thing has surround speakers and when they mount it, now, in modern days, they now add what they call home theaters. So it has like 6 speakers, then one fat woofer somewhere. That's what they call bedouz. Some of them 10,000 watts, PMPO, peak music power output. That's bedouz, amen? So you know what's bedouz now? I hope you are very much in, you know, we're in tune now. You get what I call bedouz. So I bought a bedouz, that's what I'm saying. So one of those, I bought one bedouz, Pioneer. Now, if you know music, as one of the toppest manufacturers of bedouz. Some of my friends, listen to this, this is where I'm going. Some of my friends say, hey, but these were days when money was tight. He said, hey, very good. At least now somebody will see where his money is going to. That's where I'm going. All that my gist, just to bring out that expression. That this is very good. Now you will see what your money is accomplishing. Are you getting my point? So if a man, a young man, a young woman, this is working, after working for some years, he doesn't have bedouz, he does not have a car, he doesn't have a house, and he has been earning plenty, people will start asking, where is his money going? I don't know whether you are following what I'm saying. Now, listen to this. A man of faith, when he wants to count, doesn't count the way the world counts. The world wants to, they assess it like this, you have done very well. What do you mean? In the last 10 years, since you moved to this Enugu, or wherever you moved to, he has bought land in the village, amen? He has bought land in the city, amen? He has built, he hasn't finished it, but he has put a big queue at the back so he can park in and stop paying rent, amen? Say amen now.
Amen.
You know? And all of these things are counted as a sign of what? Accomplishment. And people who don't have faith, they look at those things also as a sign of the fact that they have made progress. that these are the things I have achieved. Now, let me quickly tell you, that is arrant nonsense. A man of faith, this is how he counts. A woman of faith counts like this. The things that are invisible are also countable. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Therefore, let's assume the total I have spent all those years comes to, let's say, 20 million naira. Somebody say, listen, I have spent 20 million. I have 2 plots of land. Look at the cars I drive. Look at the size of house I'm about to complete. You can see that I'm not wasteful. I have been able to account for all that I have earned. A man of faith doesn't look like that. If he has land, good. Amen? If he doesn't have, the same thing. Because to him, spiritual things are tangible. Are you getting my point? Spiritual things are what? Tangible. So if his money, he had used it to show mercy, the activities of showing mercy is tangible. I don't know whether you get my point. So he did not buy the land, but he can beat his chest that for those who wrote JAMB and WASC and went to school for the last 3 years, I can confidently say 10 of them I paid. Now, he's not boasting, get my point? He doesn't go around boasting, but he knows where his money went. He's not doing it so that you go and tell somebody, you know how I helped you when you wanted to do a heck. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? No, but at least he can account for where the money went to. He's not on drugs. He does not have illegitimate children. Nobody is blackmailing him. Are you following my point? He does not smoke. He does not drink. For adventure, you are a drinking man. Let me tell you one of the reasons why you shouldn't drink so much. It's a waste of money. So what I'm trying to say is that the man is not saying I drank away all the money. But this is the issue. He doesn't count his life only by the material things he possesses. He has come to understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Listen, life is spiritual. Is that your name, man? Life is very what? Spiritual. And be careful when you are assessing your life. Don't stand in front of some, you know, that's one of the problems people have in life. My friends have done this. I have not yet done it. I told you once, my mother and I were talking. He said, your friends are building houses now. And I said, and Pastor Banky is teaching the way of success on radio. Both of them are activities. To one man, it is given the assignment of building many houses so that those who do not have can rent. It's a spiritual reason, a business. If you know it properly, it might be your spiritual business. For some people, it's the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that's pursuing them around. But whatever it is, I locate my assignment for each season and I assess my life according to that. And listen, this is not about trying to make yourself feel happy. The fact is, listen to this, the fact is that those investments also are tangible. I don't know what I mean. I said those investments also, they are what? Tangible. Let me modify it. They are more tangible than the physical ones you can see. Because he said, by faith, we understand that the worlds, whatever it is that we end up seeing, first must exist as that which is invisible. Are you getting my point? It came to me yesterday morning as I was thinking about it. So I wanted to write for brethren and help them put value on the things that matter. On the things that matter. I felt like helping brethren understand, the people of God, the value of things that are invisible. Listen, people think that every money you have, you must be able to see, show where it went in what he acquired for you. Crap. Arrant nonsense. If a man does good work, it's a building he's building. I don't know what I hear. I hope you hear what I say. If somebody buys 2 bags of cement and lays foundation for a house, and I 2 bags of cement, sorry, 2 tons of cement, I wanted to say, and I take the same amount of money, 2 tons of cement, I give to somebody who I hardly know, who's desperate. Do you follow my point? Who's about to maybe go to hospital? I don't know the fellow. They just stopped me somewhere. And I know it's a matter of fact. I say, okay, I make a choice. I buy this, lay the foundation, or I give this fellow and help the person that's in need. Or the gospel is being preached. I want to sponsor that one that is coming up. Let me tell you something. Whichever one I make as, listen, I'm not trying to say that you must always do this and not do that. I'm not going to bring out an issue. Whichever one that becomes my choice, whichever one I make as my choice, at the end of the day, it is as tangible as the one that is physical. I don't know whether I get what my point. Listen, if the choice was, I'm trying to get brethren to understand something. Learn to value things that are invisible. You've heard me say it a lot of times. Sometimes I sit down and I realize I'm a very rich man. When I become poor, I'll become as poor as Dangote. You didn't hear me. Yes. Why? It's a simple reason. I have learned to place value on sleep. I don't know what I'm saying. The ability to fall asleep. I've learned to place value on swallowing. Wait, has food ever gotten stuck in your throat? I didn't say bone, food. You choose something, you swallowed it, it got halfway, see how they go again. It hasn't happened to you before? Normally it lasts for a short while. 10 seconds, 15 seconds. And have you noticed, at least the way it happened to me before? Drinking water doesn't help it. You have to be patient and wait for the thing to go down in its own season. If you drink water, it becomes worse. The obstruction gets larger. The distension, the feeling of impending doom gets stronger. If you have ever experienced this, amen. You have. Now imagine this, put in that situation for one day. Not 15 seconds that we're talking about. Not 1 minute. A whole day. I'm a doctor. There are those who are in that situation for months. Okay. It's not food. It's a tumor. It can't be removed easily. The doctor that will remove it traveled. He's coming back next month. There was one man who died, you know. If you want to fall sick, self, devil was very wicked. He made sure that guy fell sick when all the specialists in Enugu traveled. I'm not telling you a joke. I know the man. He's dead. I used to know the man. He fell sick when all the specialists traveled. So it was all the practicing people that used him to practice and he died. The boys that knew the job, they all went for conference in, is it Ghana? One of these West Africa. They all disappeared. I don't know why it happened. One of those rare occasions in which they all agreed to go. It happens though. What I'm trying to say is that, so imagine that man, he tells everybody traveled, sorry. He will, with that thing stuck in his throat, he'll be drooling saliva every day for the next 1 month. I have learned to place value on the fact that I can swallow. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. I have learned it. There are things I place value on. I'm not joking. No. One day, that I've given the gist before. My wife arrived in Lagos. She was coming back from abroad, you know. And she was going to arrive at one odd hour of the day. Maybe something like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And I said, no, don't come out of the airport at that time. It's kind of, you're alone, you know, come on, don't take a taxi. And she wanted to leave on time. I was just thinking, what do I do? I just picked my phone and called Chima. Chima, so almost 12 minutes, we're talking on the phone. That's my wife and I. Okay, what should I do? What should I not do? I just said, she was at the airport actually, waiting to board. I just said, wait. I just called Chima. Chima, are you asleep or awake? Sam, awake, sir. It was about almost 12 midnight. Tomorrow morning, do me a favor. Say anything you say. I said, you go to the airport, my wife is arriving. Wait for her, pick her from the airport. You take her to Aja. I said, no problem, sir. You know, I hung up the phone. Next day, my wife arrived. She came out. Chima was waiting. You know, Chima is a man. Amen? So stood beside her, made sure she was safe. Now, what am I going to say? I sent Chima a text. I said, I told you I'm a blessed man. You have just proved to me again that I'm blessed. You get my point? That Chima is a blessed. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. I just picked my phone and had the strong young man go and escort my wife out of the airport. The next day she had to come back to the airport or the day after to board a flight to Enugu. Again, the time was a bit odd. She had things to carry. She would go to church. She would do this. I just picked my phone again. Namdi. Yes, sir. Which service are you attending? What do you want? My wife would need to leave the service at so and so time to catch a flight. I said, no problem, sir. I'm in Enugu here. And guys were in Lagos. Listen, if you had to pay for all these things, it's money. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. It's part of my wealth that God has blessed me with people that love me and will do things for me. I value it too. It's part of my wealth. And once I saw a book, I'd been looking for this book for a very long time, the story of John Alexander Dowie. Finally, I hit the book. I don't know, it was the Holy Spirit. My mind just went to it. Go to Amazon UK. I saw it in the US. It says it's an old book, you know, like collector's item. $250. I said, Abba, wicked people, you know, that kind of thing. If this book was new, it would be like $15. Because it was published a very long time ago. The few people that had it, one guy was selling it for $200 and something. I said, I know they pay. I was marking it every day, whether he would change his mind. Something just happened. I just said, okay, go to Amazon UK. I saw it there, £10. Hey! I was rejoicing. But how do I get it? I'm in Nigeria. Amazon UK is not, I don't know how I'm going to pay them. My, you know, card is not so easy at Nigeria then, wasn't. Next thing, I just picked my phone. Called my friend immediately. Pastor man, my friend Uche Ibukwe is in UK. I said, listen, I'm sending you a link right now. He said, I'm coming to Nigeria in 2 days. I said, good. I'm sending you a link right now. Buy that book and bring it. He said, I'm not sure they will deliver it. I said, don't worry. Just buy it. Keep it in your house. I will sleep well knowing this is mine. When he finally arrived in Enugu, as I got to the airport to pick him in Enugu here, he put his hand in the pocket and handed me the book. Ah! See dancing. Hey! This is the point I'm making. I learned to value it. Right now, if I say my car, I want people to help me carry it and put it on the road. You know how big it is. You saw it downstairs. You know there are enough people here that will do that for me. If you are not banking, go and stand there and say, guys, carry the car. They go, look, you say, hey, are you all right? Do you know how big this guy is? But if I said, you wouldn't say that. You see, there must be a spiritual reason why he wants this car carried. I said, I'm a blessed man. Are you following what I'm saying? What am I saying? I'm telling you, learn to value the things that are invisible. If you have spent your money over the last 20 years helping people, and you don't, in quotes, you don't have anything, don't worry about it. Did you hear what I said? Why? Because you are still rich. The man that used his own money to build a house is not richer than you. The one that used his money to buy stock is not richer than you. Because by faith we understand that the things that are invisible are also real. He said, faith is a substance of things hoped for. The conviction of what? Things that we can't see. Listen. Look. Be excited. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Because you are indeed very rich. Did I hear an amen? Amen. You are a very rich man. You are a rich woman. Listen, every choice you make because of the word of God has serious value. I don't know what I hear what I said. It has serious value. If you let go of something, because of your conviction, say, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want. Everybody did and they became very rich. The Lord is telling you are richer than them. At least God doesn't just, you know, just make people feel happy alone. He'll make you feel happy, amen? But that's what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. Eventually, you will find out. People around will find out that indeed you are rich. So that if necessary, if God has to bring physical cash, when you need it, he will bring it. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying.
Yes,
listen, you must learn to value that which is what? Invisible. Now, let's get back to the main thing that we began to read, all right? And then we'll begin to discuss it now. The book of Ruth. Let's open to that. We'll remind ourselves of the story of Ruth. Don't forget the two portions we read, one from the book of Daniel chapter 6 and the other one from the book of Matthew chapter 6 also. Now let's get back to the book of Ruth, the main thing that we want to look at. Remember, I said three things we are going to see from the book of Ruth, from the life of Ruth. We're not taking a verse-by-verse study of Ruth. We do that on Tuesdays. And we're in the book of Hebrews concerning that. But I just want to see, I want us to understand a number of principles that were manifested in the life of this young woman who became the ancestor, all right, or ancestress, I don't know the correct English there, of David and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just read from verse 1, chapter 1. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Now, because of time, I'll just jump, all right? Verse 3 says that Elimelech died, and then after some time, now after he died, verse 4, the two sons took Moabite women as wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they both lived there about 10 years. Verse 5, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband, which of course you understand, she was what the Bible calls, when Paul was talking about Timothy, he called her a widow indeed. She was old, most likely at this time, about 60 or above, and her two sons were dead, her husband being the first to have died. She was without any support. She was totally alone. All she now had were the daughters that were young women, all right? The daughters-in-law. Now, I just wanted to emphasize the fact that she was a proper widow. And then she arose, verse 6, with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, went with the two daughters-in-law and began to return. Verse 8 says, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each one of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as he has dealt with the dead, and as you have dealt with the dead, that is their husbands, and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband, that is, if you're going to remarry. Then she kissed them. They were young, don't forget. And they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, no, but we will surely return with you to your people. Please notice from here the arguments that Naomi began to bring up. He said, return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Listen to this carefully. What do you stand to gain? That's what she was saying. Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be husbands to you, that may be your husbands? That is, what do you stand to gain? I cannot give you a husband. Return, my daughters, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, will you therefore wait until they were grown? Will you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. That is, her arguments made sense to Orpah. She saw, now please look up here. She saw that there was sense in what this woman was saying. Are you getting my point? That is, as far as she was concerned, there was nothing to gain. You are going? If I followed you, from what you are saying, I will just eventually be as destitute as you are planning to be. Do you get my point? No guarantees. That was what Naomi was explaining to her. And when Naomi finished explaining, it made a lot of sense. She did what was reasonable. Please listen to me. If you are plotting your life, that's what you should do. If you have a lot of sense, if you are very wise in life, please do that. If you are very good at scheming and plotting, making sure that your future is secure, that's what you should do. Because look at this old woman, what else does she have to offer? And Naomi was kind, and she helped them plan their future. And it made sense that they should return. I'm talking about the gospel according to Ruth. Listen, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that, listen, as Christians, we must learn to trust that God will take care of us. Listen, we must learn to leave our futures in God's hands. That's what I'm talking about. A reasonable person, a wise man, a wise woman in the affairs of this world would do what Orpah did. Orpah was not wicked. That was just the limit of her faith. But I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, to explain this. If I mentioned this in that particular book, if you've read it, what I'm talking about now is in there. I wrote that book to let you understand something. The Bible says that it is not circumcision or uncircumcision that accomplishes anything, but it is faith that works by love. For a long time, I was wondering what that meant. And one of the things I want to explain to us here again today, listen. Grace, you know, I like talking about grace. Grace is when you live your life in God's hands and it takes you where he desires to take you by his own power. That's what grace is. Grace is when sometimes you act very foolishly. Let me explain what grace is. Grace is the life of Ruth. When Ruth will make decisions, take steps that's of no benefit to her personally, and then God establishes her, so establishes her that her whole life was summarized and placed in the book, in the Word of God. When there was space for only 66 books, they created one space and put her life in there. I don't know how rich Bill Gates is. After many generations, they will forget him. The richest man 100 years ago, people are not sure of who it was. In the Songhai Empire, there was one very rich man. Do you know him? In the Kanem Bono Empire, the richest man in there, can you remember his name? Even the enemies of Jesus Christ know the name Ruth. There's one woman in America, most doctors and most Christians don't like her. Conservative Christians. Her name is Dr. Ruth. Even those who don't claim to be Christians, they bear the name Ruth. Are you getting what I'm saying? No matter how wealthy and how successful you are, after a while, men will forget you. But Ruth can never be forgotten. It's not possible. As long as this earth remains, people will read about Ruth every day. Yet, Ruth never asked for it. That's the point I'm making. Grace is when God takes you to a place that you never asked for. Just because you did things that were simply, let me put it like this, in accordance with his order. Listen, let me tell you something. You can never, let's talk on a natural plane. You can never plan to be the richest man in the world and it will work. There was a time two young men came to the Lord himself and said, grant that we will sit on your left and your right. He said, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't make promises. Just like I preach about Bill Clinton once in a while, he told them, these are the things you need to do if you know you want to be president one day. They said, we can do it. He said, now that you can do it, go and join the queue. I don't know what I heard what I said. I haven't done all, join the queue. The Lord was telling them, it might hit you, it might not. Whichever one you get, take it. Listen, there's nothing to do to ensure and become sure of the fact that you are going to get somewhere great in life. You can't deliberately plot it. Read all the books. Read them. Operate them. Believe them. You know, I don't want to bore you with stories. Big preachers who entered into ministry and were walking their ways for climbing in that ministry. Just as the horizon was clear, they sacked them. There was one young man in Lagos that had those days of Redeem Eric Moore. He used to be called Apapa Parish. It was the happeningest of the happening branches of Redeem in the world. Then they were not even all over the world, mostly in Nigeria. There was pastored by Tony Rapp. In Lagos then, you go see, you don't go, you know, young guys, you don't go Apapa Parish. Come on, go. You know, trust, there was one guy who did not go bank. I just have this problem with things that are happening. I don't know. That was just my issue. One guy who was walking there, walking tight for promotion, he said the day he was getting ready to move was when they scattered the church and broke it to small, small pieces. He said he cried that day. When I heard the story, I said, oh, foolish Galatian. What am I going to explain? You can't plot anything for your life. That's what I'm talking about, the gospel according to Ruth. That is, Ruth is teaching you this evening, and many days to come, we'll continue talking about it. That where I got to, sorry guys, I did not plan it.